Okay. Okay, today is Wednesday, February 10th, year of our Lord 2021. Faris is beside me here, and we are once again down by the Esplanade in South Redondo Beach, Los Angeles County, California, the U.S. of A. Got another exciting podcast.
We do. Well, welcome back to all of our listeners. Yes. The same four or five people. Thank you so much for continuing to listen.
To support us in all of our many endeavors. In all of our forays into culture, society, politics, alcoholism. Which brings us to our first topic of tonight. The debate. The long-standing debate between lightweights and heavyweights. Now, I believe that being a lightweight is a good thing. It is a sign of your body's self-defense mechanism working properly. If you imbibe a little bit and you're already getting drunk, that means your body is protecting you against further consumption. Well, at least that's ideally what should be happening. I mean, we all know that, you know, even people who are lightweights can go overboard and destroy their livers.
Of course.
But ideally, your body is defending itself, right? Okay. When you're a heavyweight, either because you're genetically predisposed or because you've abused your body so much that you can withstand a full keg.
You become a sewer for alcohol.
You become
a retention pond.
A reservoir for alcoholism. Yeah. That is the sign of your body working improperly. And honestly, it's a sign you should probably stop drinking, you know, altogether. You know, or at least limit drastically your consumption. If you can't control yourself in settings where, you know, you might drink, or where you if you feel the overpowering temptation to drink, which Lord knows there are certain, many people who do feel that way.
Imagine being at a formal get together of some sort after COVID, of course,
right?
And you know, you have one martini too many, one cocktail too many, whatever it may be,
right?
Bam, you're on the floor. Not a pretty sight.
Sounds like a friend of ours.
Not a pretty sight. Not a pretty sight. Yeah. Or stumbling upon your words or saying the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yikes. Yes. Speaking of saying the wrong words, China.
There it is.
China. Now, we all know about China's rise to stardom, international stardom. The country has surpassed the United States by almost every metric there is in terms of economic and technological might. Technologically, they're still catching up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still a little
their
behind.
Productivity is next level.
But,
we've seen that.
Yeah, but they're definitely, they're right on our heels, if not at the same pace as us.
Yep.
So recently we learned of the introduction of a new system of social measurement where you get a score, right? That score measures, your productivity, your economic productivity, your personality, your social, you know, how likable you are.
Yep. You know what that reminds me of, actually?
What?
A great analogy is the Netflix Black Mirror, or if that was a show,
yes,
the one with
the
scoring,
right.
The scoring of a human being based on their interactions,
the girl who loses her score,
having like five stars, like an Uber driver,
yes, dude, that literally is like what China is doing.
It's
right
real.
Now.
That's the scary thing. It's real.
In China, you start off at like 1,000 or like a set amount of points, and then you can only lose the points. Like you can't. I don't think in its current form, I might be wrong, don't quote me, but I don't think you can gain points. I think you only lose points through infractions. And that determines what kind of car you can buy, what kind of house you can buy.
There you go.
Insane, right?
Yep.
Now, we also know the much more nefarious, I mean, if that wasn't evil enough already, a much more nefarious use for this technology is for predictive analysis.
Yep.
To predict. Now, we know this, that the Chinese government is using the AI technology to aggregate a bunch of disparate data points from each of its citizens' lives, social media activity, bank activity, what you're doing, who you're talking to, what food you're buying, your test scores, your damn essays, you know, in school.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, PG. All right, your essays in school. All right, and it's aggregating all of this data and creating a profile for each of its citizens, and then using that profile to predict criminal or politically dissident activity, even before you or I or any of those poor Chinese citizens even think of becoming politically dissident or criminal, right?
Yep.
It brings us to the movie we discussed earlier.
That actually, yep, just to segue slightly, we already have a system like this in place, if you think about it. You mentioned bank information. What is the credit score? It's
That's true. Of a
social standard in itself, isn't it?
Right. But it's not administered by the government. I guess that's the key distinction.
It's not, but I mean, it can limit what house you get, what car you buy, all those little things that you just mentioned.
Absolutely true.
And sometimes they do correlations between, hey, this credit score usually means this person has this type of quality, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's a brilliant point. There are correlations between that as well.
Yeah.
So,
isn't it crazy?
Just to segue off of that, scoring.
That's a great point. I was thinking about the other day. Literally, a credit score, you take on debt and you pay off debt so that you can have access to things that will, so that you can take out more debt through your credit score.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
It's just a
leverage more. Leverage more.
Leverage your $3,000 to score that $3 million mansion.
Exactly, exactly.
But yes, so predictive analysis. It's crazy that with AI and then quantum AI combined with quantum computer, that's Skynet right there. That's the end of the world. But AI, and we know China is catching up to the U.S. in terms of AI.
Yeah.
And I mean, by some measures, they're already ahead. We don't really know what's going on over there. But AI combined with quantum computing, those things, those computers of theirs will be able to literally track every one of their citizens' activities, know what they're likely going to do with a high probability of success, yeah, right? And it brings us to those two movies, Captain America, you know, the
Winter Soldier,
uh-huh, and Minority Report. Great movie. I don't know if people in our generation remember that. It's the early 2000s.
Okay.
By Steven Spielberg with Tom Hanks. Oh, no, sorry.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise in the lead role playing this police detective, I think in Boston, like it is like a set in 20, 30 years from now.
Okay.
Where this police department is using this sort of like AI to predict criminal behavior in its citizens, in the citizens of the city. And the special police branch would apprehend criminals as they were committing the crime or just before the commission of the crime. And then the idea of the movie is that you can't always 100% predict crime because people still have the agency to change their mind at the last second, right? Like,
yeah,
you're holding a gun to somebody's head, and the idea was, like, in the movie that if you're holding a gun to somebody's head, you're likely going to kill them. Like, that, mm-hmm, was the yeah, logic of the AI. But what they discovered, like, in the course of the movie, I'm not going to spoil too much, but that, but if you're holding a gun and you're really tempted to kill that guy, but at the last second, you can change your mind.
You flip a switch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And if you change your mind, you can't say that that person was a murderer, right?
Yeah.
But the police was arresting everybody, like, up to and at that point, right? Of holding a gun. If you're holding a gun, you're done. You're, like, you're arrested.
But
thrown
even
in jail.
Our society now, don't you think if someone's holding a gun to someone's head, it's assumed,
right,
that something will escalate out of that, right?
Brilliant point. Brilliant point. In that movie, they were charging people with the crime that they were about to commit.
There you go.
So a guy, yeah, had a gun to a woman's head. He was going to get charged with first or second degree murder, even though he didn't kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That was the controversial part the controversial issue that they were dealing with in that movie. Can you charge somebody with a crime if you have like a 99% probability that they're going to actually commit it?
You know, that's tough. That's really, right, tough to deal with situations like that.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the moral dilemma. That's very such a brilliant, it's such a brilliant movie because,
yeah,
of that. I don't know. It's, I guess the Chinese government.
But imagine what would happen here if you were doing that publicly.
Yeah.
Imagine what would happen, you know. That would provoke other gunfire.
Well, in the movie, the program, this AI computer was adopted widely because they ran a trial, like a smaller version of it, and they showed that there was a reduction in crime. So, like, this is all, of course, fantastical, you know, this actually didn't happen, but a system like that would theoretically, well, it might actually reduce crime, you know, if you can, because, I mean, as human, we're creatures of habit, right? There's a high probability we'll do something, we'll probably do it, right?
Okay.
And, of course, there are those exceptions where, you know, even though there's a high probability of you doing this, Mm-hmm. At the last second, you might change your mind. And that might be like that 10% chance that you won't do something. But if you have a 90%, if there's a 90% chance that you'll do this, you'll probably do it, right? So the premise of that movie was that, one of the premises of the movie was that, you can reduce a lot of crime because criminals who are about to commit a crime are probably going to commit the crime. But there's going to be like that 10% who are like, at the last second, they change their mind.
So you can prevent the crime. But you can prevent it from happening, but also give them that correctional aspect without even having the crime occur.
Would you imprison the other 10% along with the other 90% if you could reduce the crime by 90%?
Don't ask me difficult questions like that.
Dude, I don't know the answer. It's like
I didn't study this.
Dude, you know, people just look at ethics and philosophy professors. Everybody has different answers to these things.
Yeah, yeah, it's very controversial.
It's a personal question. Like, would you imprison 100 people? If you knew 90 of them were going to commit a crime and 10%, the other 10, you were like, not sure. Would you imprison 10 innocent people if you knew that by imprisoning 100 people that you can stop the crimes? You can stop 90 crimes?
It's like a slippery slope if we get into this because, you know, the petty theft is the same way. You know, if someone's robbing without a gun and then they pull out a gun, but they use it for intimidation or it's empty...
Right.
You know, it's that same concept of, hey, you know, they were going to commit even more crime, but they didn't even come prepared to do so. Yep. But you're going to imprison them for something with just the intimidation aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're carrying a gun and it's empty.
Right.
You know, the clip is empty or there's no mag at all, right?
Right.
But if you charge them with that murder, even though they had that intimidation aspect, it's like, at what point do we draw that line as well? At what point are we going to go into depth about...
Right.
How to, you know.
Right. Dude, it's a tough question, man.
How do we classify that?
Yeah. That or even difficult. If that guy was holding a loaded gun, but he had no intent of using it.
He carries it for the intimidation aspect or whatnot.
It might be a weapon for self-defense, like if he lives in a poor community.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, but he's committing petty theft and he has a loaded firearm.
And he has two kids.
It's hard to classify that as well.
He has to feed or something and he's stealing in order to feed them or something.
It's such a slippery... Oh, I can't. That's very hard to classify.
Dude, these are tough moral questions that we have to deal with.
Very tough.
So, which actually... Oh, well, brings me to my next point. In the movie, one of the key issues with the use of AI technology is who's in control of that AI technology. Because even if you have a really highly functioning, artificial intelligence, there's still somebody... pulling the plug, you know, or not pulling the plug, like, you know,
knowing technology, it's gonna be self-learning,
but somebody's still in control of it.
Until they're not.
Oh, that's right. So one of the issues is the corruptibility of AI technology. Like,
okay,
we might think that it's, you know, autonomous, but what if somebody's still pulling the strings behind the scenes and kind of corrupting certain parts of the AI to like target or manipulate data?
Yeah.
You know, like there's...
Theoretically, it should be infallible. But if there is someone behind the sticks...
If the Chinese Communist Party has created this side, you bet, you sure... You know, you can bet that it's not going to be defending the Uyghurs, all right? You know?
Oh, Luke.
Oh, boy.
Luke.
It's not going to be autonomous artificial intelligence. It's going to be communist artificial intelligence. it's going to have a mind. It's going to be artificial, but it's going to have a Chinese citizenship. There we go.
There you go.
Okay.
It has its best interests in mind, right?
It has
a few biases.
It has your best interests in mind. Or at least that's what they tell you. Boy. Which, of course, leads us... speaking of ambiguity, that leads us to the next question of index funds and the stock market. Ferris, what happened to the stock market this past few weeks?
Well, I finally recovered, actually. Let's hop into the stocks app. The stonks app. Let's see. I was doing well. I lost a few dollars today, but I'm still up.
Okay.
God bless. You know, I made it out of the hole. I was far below. Didn't pull out. And, you know, you stay riding the wave.
That's right.
And sometimes that works. With index funds, it will work. Okay. I don't know for sure. Don't take my word for it, but it worked.
I'm not an expert. Don't quote me.
Yeah. Vanguard, SPY, Vanguard, Global FinTech, NASDAQ, JP Morgan, Apple, the big type of stonks. Just ride the wave.
Gotta ride them all.
And those index funds are less taxed as
necessarily
well, right?
The ones that you are investing in. Those are just some of the big ones.
Some of the big ones to name. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of these big companies. Oh, I was reading earlier today. I was talking to one of our mutual friends about it, that the market forecasts show that this year investors are going to be reorienting their portfolios and focusing more on manufacturing instead of virtual, since we're exiting the pandemic. So like stuff like Zoom and stuff and like virtual platforms and technology, like that's slowing down, and we're reverting back to like manufacturing, like GE, like renewable energy, car manufacturing, appliance manufacturing. Renewable energy is a really big one. But job creation through manufacturing, so that might be something to keep in mind.
That's a shame, really, that those virtual services won't be skyrocketing.
It's a bubble. That's all it is.
I mean, it is, but then again, I was blowing up. We should
for the
be
last
learning
10 years.
From this pandemic as well, because some of these jobs really do you need to be in the office every day? We can continue to use these online services.
Speaking of which, Salesforce announced today or yesterday that all of its employees can now work from home permanently.
Just like Google or Twitter or whoever else,
the vast majority of its employees, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like
that's what I'm hoping to see. They should be allowing that. Like
yeah,
I saw so many polls saying, "Oh, like take the survey for this company," and it's like, "Oh, would you like to do office at home or work office or both?" Right. You know, and having that option, having that flexibility as well. I mean, they can also cut costs. Some people want office, some people don't. You know, half the size of the office.
Salesforce
there you go.
Can sell its SF building, right?
There you go. You're welcome. I just saved them money. You're welcome. I just feel like we should learn from this and consider the fact that we don't actually need to be commuting every day, 9 to 5. We don't need to be commuting anywhere.
Preach.
Thank you.
Speaking of which, remember, did I tell you about that program that my friend was applying for in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
We did talk about Oklahoma.
Okay,
it escapes me.
There's like a grant program or I don't even know what you call it.
When they pay you to live there?
They give you $10,000 if you have a remote job and you relocate to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I saw that. Yeah, they'll give you a new Ferrari as well. They'll pay for your gas insurance.
All right, let's relax.
And they'll give you a $2 million home
can buy an Oklahoma Ferrari, which is a 1967 Ford pickup.
Oh,
right?
My.
So anyway, my friend got it.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's...
Keep us posted if they hold up to their word.
Well, $10,000, man. Apparently, 20,000 people applied for 200 positions.
So they're completely remote, and you have to be remote for a year, 2 years. What are you signing, I guess, to get this $10,000 amount?
Minimum 6 months.
6 months?
You're committing to
6 months, $10,000. You know, it doesn't really pay off.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, where the rent is like $600.
Like, I mean, for a good place. $10,000?
The initiative was started by this millionaire from Oklahoma. He invested a bunch of money. So that's 200 times 10,000 is what?
So that's
is that 2 million?
Calculating.
2 million, right?
Do you want me to double check you?
Is it 2 million, right?
Yeah.
10,000 plus 2 zeros, that's... Yeah, it's 2 million, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is he taking out the calculator?
You don't trust me.
You're the engineer.
You don't trust me.
I did trust you.
You know what I learned? Measure twice, cut once, okay? Learned that at my previous, like,
measure twice,
three
cut
jobs
once.
Ago. Measure
the
twice,
expert
cut once.
Himself, ladies
okay?
and gentlemen.
Okay? Just remember that, Luke.
There we go. Trust but verify, like the IRS. So, yeah. So it's a good, yeah, it's another
you considering
sign
it?
Of the times. Well, I don't have a remote job, so no, I'm not considering. But it's a good thing to consider if you do have a remote job. I mean, and I think there are two or three other programs like this in other places. You know, places in the middle of nowhere. You know, Tulsa.
Honestly.
Not a lot of people passing through Tulsa.
That's kind of awesome, actually. There's probably no traffic.
If you're thinking about starting a family.
Cheap gas.
Yeah, dude. Like, the only issue are tornadoes, but, you know, every place I had a...
But you know what? Build underground, you know? I'll weigh my options. The $10,000 underground bunker.
The houses there start at $90,000.
Really?
You can buy...
$10,000 is a good deposit,
nice
then, or a down payment.
Manhattan Beach style villa.
Okay, where would I put that in Tulsa? Where do I put that?
With 2 acres of land for $400,000.
Oh, my God.
$400,000, dude.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
That's all you need, baby.
For the rest of my life. Wow.
I'm telling you, dude, it is a bargain. Until the tornado comes in and wipes it off the face of the earth. But that's a separate issue.
And then I got to restart.
Every place got its own wild weather. You got... Well, the Northwest typically doesn't have it. It really doesn't. I guess the Northwest and the Northern states don't really have any extreme weather events. I mean, I guess just the weather sucks in general up there, but...
Yeah, it's a little cold right now.
California's got fires and earthquakes. The Southwest has got just heat. Texas, the South, has hurricanes and humidity.
I mean, we have landslides as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You forgot about that, yeah.
Midwest, we got flooding. We got tornadoes. We got... windstorms, insane windstorms. The Northeast, like the East Coast, yeah, hurricanes.
Yeah.
Really, the northern states are the only ones, like the ones that border Canada, are really the only states that don't have any wild weather. The weather just sucks. I don't know. That's my opinion, but...
Gotcha.
I guess, I mean, some people like the Pacific Northwest, they like it. But like Montana, South Dakota, like North Dakota...
It's freezing. It's freezing.
It's wind.
Yeah.
North and South Dakota are are home to some of the largest wind farms in the country because of how much wind there is. It's a windy state. It's like there's only wind flowing through there.
Well, now we know what we're going to put there.
We know what we're going to invest.
the GE.
Oh my god.
Send them there.
Oh boy. So Mitch. All right, I think we accidentally paused there for a second. All right, so returning to our previous conversation of COVID, there have been some significant developments over the past couple of weeks. Outdoor dining is, hallelujah, once again available in our great state of California. That hasn't stopped the Recall Newsom movement, which has now gained enormous traction. Throughout the state, they have now amassed, I think, 1.5 million votes. I think it's safe to say that Newsom will not be on this or whatever the next election's ballot. And if he is even able to see through the end of this current term that he's that he's completing right now. So there's that. COVID numbers are still pretty high.
ICU capacity was still below 15%, but we reopened the outdoor dining.
Yeah, I noticed that I've been hearing a lot less about COVID in the news.
You're right?
It's more...
It's hard to keep our viewers or our listeners and ourselves updated with the lack of news about it.
These last couple of weeks, I've been listening to news more about... Or I've been seeing more news about foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
About
Biden continuing to... set records with how many executive orders he can sign.
Executive orders go brr.
Yes, I saw that.
So, something about his sanctions on Iran, as if preventing Iran from creating a nuclear weapon is, I mean, I don't know. It seems like a foregone conclusion that there are going to be countries with nuclear weapons that don't like us, so...
Well, the only thing actually to mention about the news and COVID is the COVID vaccine sites having to do, I guess, emergency protocol with, you know, they got to get rid of the vaccine once they have it. And I've been hearing a lot of misorganization between the sites, what they had planned for them to do, how many vaccines they were going to give, the whole nine yards. You know, you saw in the news how there was that one... I guess it was like a snowstorm or something that had the freeway closed down. So they went around to people in cars and just gave the vaccine because the dosage was going to go bad. Or like their dosages were going to go bad.
Oh, because of the need
they can't sit in the car.
Them.
Exactly. So they just decided to give it to everyone on the freeway. I mean, you gotta use it, right?
That's crazy.
So, yeah. I mean, they improvised. I feel like that was the right thing to do. If they were just going to go bad, they might as well just... give it to everyone in their car right?
That's wild.
They made a COVID vaccination site out of a closed freeway. That's ingenuity. I can't complain there, you know? Would have been lost. A lost cause, right?
Dude, that's wild, man.
A lot of miscommunication misfires, huh? There as well, though, with the COVID sites having different amounts of dosages.
Right.
We're not really following that protocol of who's getting it first, second, third, the tiers. if you will, the tears
that they had mentioned. Oh, I haven't seen anything about
that. Exactly. I haven't been listening for that, but I saw that there was a lot of just misunderstanding around all that.
Isn't Disneyland and Dodger Stadium both?
Yep, they're both vaccination sites?
Yeah.
They were testing sites. Now they're both, I believe.
That's good. I mean, it's good. I mean, there's also a shortage of vaccines, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
You know.
Even though, how many vaccines do we have? Like 4 or 5 on the market now?
Johnson, Moderna, Pfizer.
There's definitely
There are more. Why am I forgetting?
Yeah. I know Russia's vaccine has been surprisingly effective.
Sputnik?
The Sputnik 5. They say it's been effective. I don't know how effective it really is.
Let's see. Why didn't he get his own vaccine, though?
He probably got the Sputnik 6, the improved version.
The new and improved, right? There the one go. They spent an extra few months developing.
It's the sports edition. The four-wheel drive.
Janssen's, Novavax's, AstraZeneca. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, I don't recall those being in the news.
I definitely saw
AstraZeneca. But they're in phase 3 clinical trials.
I definitely saw Novavax in the news, too.
I heard of AstraZeneca's, but I don't recall these other two. But if you saw that one, then...
What are the ones that are currently in circulation?
Moderna, Johnson, Pfizer.
And they're coming out 3 more. Wow, that's crazy. So which one's the most effective one is Pfizer and Moderna, right?
I thought it was Johnson and Moderna. Pfizer has 90 or 95, Moderna has 99 or 95, and then Johnson has a one-time dosage with a 90-something percent. Or that's the last I saw in the news. Okay, don't quote me on
Moderna
that.
Moderna and Pfizer were both 95, and then Johnson was 90.
Effectiveness. Vaccine. Let's just make sure what the newest articles on Wikipedia have to say. You know, my connection's a little poor right now. I'm sorry about that.
That's all good.
All right. Based on the evidence from clinical Moderna vaccine, 94.1% effective. At preventing the laboratory-confirmed COVID-19
illness.
Can you
scroll down just a little bit? Yeah, what about that first article?
Well, you know, my connection, Luke.
Oh, look at that.
Oof. Let's see. Last Friday, Johnson had one dose vaccine developed. Janssen Pharmaceutical had been shown to be 66% protective against the moderate to severe COVID infection. Oh, I saw that as well in a news article, that each one has a different effectiveness depending on the strain as well and how well it's going to prevent against certain symptoms.
Oh, right.
They were getting specific. Right. They were like, oh, it's going to predict 85% against severe symptoms or 68% against mild symptoms or whatnot. So there's a new classification as well for that. Because it's dependent on the variables, like what strain you have, what your immune system is like, how recently you got the vaccine, blah, blah, blah. Other ways of justifying their performances, essentially.
Interesting. Yeah, I was reading that South Africa halted the distribution of their vaccine, of the vaccine they received because there were concerns that it didn't protect its citizens from the more serious strain that has now emerged from that country. The one that's got all of our politicians riled up.
Yeah.
And now I think the U.S. is not allowing people from South Africa to travel here. There's a travel ban.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Brazil, I think, as well.
Yep.
Brazil,
well,
South
Africa.
Isn't
it just you have to get tested right before you want to fly?
It might be that you just need a test negative. But yeah, those are like...
I know that's the thing for Mexico right now, too.
Oh, yeah?
I heard, yeah. If you want to come back after going to, let's say, Cabo, you need a test negative a few hours before going to the airport for, you know, takeoff to come back to the U.S.
Yeah, okay. Dude, that's wild. Oh, man, how many people have died in the U.S. from this? Like 300-something thousand?
COVID-19 deaths.
Haven't seen that in the news too much.
Right.
It's like people have forgotten about that, or the news has moved on.
I believe it's over 500,000.
Let's see. Let's consult Google. The U.S.?
I don't think so. I think it's just for California. Show all. Yeah. 19 deaths? That doesn't make sense, no. Show all. 471,000.
Ooh. Yikes.
For all regions of the United States.
Yeah.
So total, should I do maybe worldwide?
Let's do worldwide. Like plus or minus 50,000.
So I did worldwide deaths 2.35 million. And you can quote me on this. This is Google. Okay.
Okay.
This is Google statistics. So Google is
saying that
worldwide, the total amount of deaths from COVID-19 is 2.35 million, with 107 million cases and 60 million recovered.
The U.S. leads the death count by
471,000 and 27.3 million cases.
Interesting. And India
almost is half of the entire amount of recovered. Or a solid, a little bit more than a quarter of the entire cases amount is from the U.S.
Yeah.
India leading in second, and then Brazil third, UK in fourth, and then Russia.
So America takes the gold medal in this.
Yeah.
As it takes the gold medal in so many other things. Look at how many European countries are at the top.
Yeah. I have not looked at this statistic. This is really clean. Good job, Google.
It's almost as if...
Very clean.
The most technologically advanced nations are reporting theirs more or more accurately than all the other nations here on this list.
Well, you know, maybe we're testing more so for it. It's like, you know?
I'm not sure about Ukraine's testing capabilities, considering that they're in the middle of a civil war, or that of South Sudan, for that matter. It could be a whole epidemic over there right now. We wouldn't know anything about it. But it's interesting. It's certainly interesting. There have been some issue. There have been some concerns raised about their testing methods or how they're ascertaining the cause of death, like from COVID. Like, so the real figure is probably not 470,000. Probably like it might be a little bit less, since a lot of doctors and coroners are really eager to just to attribute the like somebody's.
I heard that as well. I did hear that. Yeah.
Like there were cases where they discovered that. Like journalists discovered that some guy who was like had stage 4 terminal cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was about to die, and then like he got COVID, and he died in 2 weeks, and it's attributed to COVID, right? But the guy had like a 2 to 3 month life expectancy anyway. So it's like
That's horrible.
Cases like that, it's
hard to put that in either category, but
because technically COVID was like the final nail, right? But on the other hand, the guy was already, and it's not the only, apparently there's a lot of these cases out there. In either case, like even if it is like 400,000 deaths, it's still a national tragedy, right?
Yes.
Some people died. But surprisingly, like I haven't been seeing that as much in the news. I'm hearing a lot, the impeachment trial of our boy Donnie Trump is underway.
Yep.
In full force. They're trying to impeach a president who's no longer in office. That's a first.
Yep. Would that prevent him from rerunning in 24?
That's what they're trying to do.
Yep.
Disbar him, I guess, from ever serving in political office again. To stop the 2024 campaign in its tracks.
Well, you saw they took him off of all social media, you know?
They did.
It's hard to campaign without any type of
trying marketing. To silence him, yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, without a voice, really. They took away his voice with that, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Canceling him. I'm not too keen on...
Well, you use slang or like... hipster like
what are you talking about? I'm young and fresh off the streets.
Okay, stop. That's not actually how Luke ever socializes with anyone. He doesn't use this kind of language. So I apologize for that.
Okay, you're apologizing.
For you.
On my behalf. So as much as I would not like to see him in the office of the presidency in 2024, I think what they're doing to him is a little extreme. Might be a little too much, you know. I think we just got to move on and address the issues that led to his election in the first place.
We're working backwards a bit here, for sure.
It's like people. This frustrates me on the Democratic side. Democrats still deny, or are they confused about why he got elected in the first place, right? It wasn't because of racism or xenophobia or some crap like that. It was just because the political establishment had failed so many Americans. And the fact that they're still reluctant to admit that is troubling.
It's easy to hold a grudge, isn't it?
That makes better ratings. That makes for better ratings or more money.
Yeah.
Speaking of news, China. Returning back to China.
Back there, to this. Okay.
Disturbing reports emerging from the re-education camps in Western China. Our hearts and our prayers go out to all of our brothers and sisters currently trapped in that system of concentration camps out there. It's absurd to think that America is still doing business with China, even though the country has interned between 3 to 5 million. They don't even know how many they have in there. They just built a bunch of camps all over the western region, western part of the country, and they're all in there, you know, singing, you know, Mao Zedong's and or Xi's national anthem. All right, and they're singing his praises, writing little postcards to him in hopes that he'll forgive them. They're forced to do God only knows what. There are reports of sexual abuse, of like rape and torture, really disturbing stuff.
I don't know what
the solution is, but in our lifetime, it's going to be interesting to see the confrontation between the West, Russia, and China.
To see who comes out number one in power, or yeah. What? Well, the race has been on. The race is still going, right?
I don't know if we're going to see the end of that race.
The race to first place.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, it's crazy stuff. That's macro level. Macro level stuff.
A little bit above my pay grade, you know?
Mine too, considering I don't have a pay grade at the moment. But, you know, the unemployment game is still going strong. Biden's promised stimulus plan will extend unemployment benefits for another 6 months.
6 months?
7 months, never mind.
Till when?
September? Yeah.
Nice.
So,
for all those listeners out there on unemployment, there you go.
There we go.
That was in the news, actually. I remember seeing that somewhere. Mm-hmm. I heard about him wanting to extend that and add even more per month, I believe. I don't know. I think
it's going to be $100 extra. So instead of $300 per week, it's going to be $400 per week.
$400 per week.
Which would be a nice cushion. Wow. For many Americans who are struggling right now out there.
That's better than working, you know?
He did back out of his promise of delivering a $15 minimum wage nationwide. I guess the Republican opposition was too strong. Understandably, because, you know, when you raise the minimum wage too quickly, I mean, $15
here. Prices will skyrocket. Gas prices will continue to skyrocket.
Companies will start letting go of employees or cutting hours.
Yep.
No company is just going to do nothing. Companies are always going to react, right?
Yeah.
McDonald's, you know, you force McDonald's to pay $15 minimum wage, they start getting those electronic cashiers to replace
only
the cashier.
Only electronic cashiers, nothing else.
They've got a robot right now that they're testing out. I actually might have already put it in a restaurant that's flipping burgers. It's got a robotic arm, and it's just flipping burgers over.
Darn.
It's crazy, man. Brave new world. You know, Soon enough, McDonald's are just going to be completely automated, and they're just going to have, like, a technician walking around making sure that everything's working.
They're going to have engineers walking around, right?
Like you.
Yeah. Maintenance engineers. Operations engineers.
Electrical engineers. There we go.
Well, mechatronics, to be exact, because they're all robotic systems. Technically,
you're gonna have your boys from MIT coming in, and
yep,
they're gonna be paying
running McDonald's
a lot of moolah for.
It's no longer a food industry company, you know. It's all mechatronics now. It's all engineering based.
That's right. Learn to code, right? Wasn't that the favorite buzz phrase?
Yep.
A few years back, when everybody was saying, "Oh yeah, you know, all these jobs are getting erased by robotics. We're just gonna teach everybody to code."
Yeah.
As if we need 100 million data analysts and computer scientists. Or as if, yeah, there's even space for that many.
Yeah.
That many.
We actually touched up on that on one of our earlier episodes, right?
We did.
Losing all jobs to having the staple of computer science, engineer, and what else did you mention? Like politics or something. Like there was a few like branches.
Anything involving data analysis is probably going to get automated in the next 10-20 years, according to the experts. Computer science is going to be heavily automated, secretarial jobs, clerkships, those sorts of positions are probably going to get automated. Well, factory jobs as well. Automation is already erasing jobs from that sector. So,
well, a lot of the heavy lifting type of jobs, laborious jobs, can be automated, yeah. And scary enough, it's coming very quickly.
Yeah. Dude, I was talking to some of my buddies, my firefighter buddies, and I was telling them about how they're developing drones right now that are tracking the wildfire mm-hmm. perimeter, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're providing real-time live data, which is a little bit better than satellite imagery, which is still, there's high above, right?
Yeah.
So they're tracking the growth and the expansion of a wildfire. And soon enough, they're just going to have drones that are just flying around with little buckets of water or retardant. They're just going to be dropping it around the perimeter.
Yeah.
And you're not going to need firefighters anymore.
It's scary because I'm slightly with it because I don't want to see people putting their lives in danger. But I also don't want everything to be automated because it takes some of the fun out of it.
What are people going to be
doing? Take some of the fun out of it, too.
I was listening to an economist on the World Economic Forum talk about how ultimately he believes that we are moving towards a society where it's just, there's going to be universal basic income, that the need to work is actually not going to exist anymore for some people. That for some people, like, work itself might be optional, you know? Like, we're slowly, like, with automation, with AI, mm-hmm. quantum computing, all these breakthroughs, we're slowly moving towards a society where a lot of these jobs are heavily mechanized and automated, and it's just like the need for data analysts.
Well, we're all going to be technicians or specialists in a certain machine-operated system.
Yeah, there are some careers that are not going to disappear, like nursing, for instance, until they come up with a robot that perfectly mimics humans.
Well, unfortunately, they have. You know, I've seen the automatic suturing on a banana.
Oh, no. Medical procedures, that's fine. But like nurses perform other really vital
roles. Oh, yes.
Definitely. Yeah, surgeons. Oh, definitely. They're making a lot of progress in completely automating complex surgical procedures.
Yeah,
detecting cancers. Another crazy thing. A mm-hmm. good thing, right? You think?
Very good.
It is good. I mean, if you can get an AI, a robot that compiles, that aggregates all the data of all the cancers ever recorded, and can tell you if you have something suspicious growing in your body. That can be good.
Definitely going to save lives.
Yeah. But it's going to cost some jobs in the medical sector, yeah. Right?
Cost some jobs, cost a lot of money. You already know.
Yeah. Maybe we are moving towards a society where jobs become optional. That'd be interesting. Would you want
to? That would almost become a socialistic situation, yeah. Other than the people who developed everything that automated everything.
Right. It would be
everyone else will just be on that socialist
grind. It would completely unravel the economic model that has sustained civilization for the past.
Since it would be hard to have a capitalistic society.
Yeah, you don't need capitalism if everybody's provided for and if machines are doing all the heavy lifting, right?
Yeah.
But what happens if the machines break down? If like they
well, that's why we have that one job, which is technician, maintenance, blah blah blah, whatever else is needed for this. You know, that's everything we'll need to do, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
But yeah, but
we can't automate everything overnight, though. You know,
no,
it's not gonna happen.
No, we can't do it overnight, nor can we automate everything.
Exactly. And God bless for that we can't automate everything.
Well, I guess it depends for who.
We're still in control.
We're still
in control
for now. For now, I don't know what would you do if you didn't have to work.
I don't know. I feel like I get a lot of fulfillment from it. As do many other people.
Yeah.
You know, it also helps you grow, learn,
agree.
Experience. Gives you a lot of experience in many different things in life, professionally, whatever.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. It's a huge part of many people's lives.
Yeah, what if...
And
what
gives
if,
them that self-worth and
what
satisfaction.
What if a robot came in? I mean, your field's probably not going to get automated in the next 10 to 20 years, probably.
Relax. Okay,
maybe like towards the end of your career.
I'm the one working on automation.
All right.
What if I told you that?
But what if a robot came in like in 5 years and said, all right, you're done. Your job is no longer needed. I mean, you could go to like a developing country or to another company that doesn't. But if it's happening in your job sector, it's probably happening across the sector. You could go to a different country where they don't have as advanced technology.
You're saying most of these people would flock then? You know, we're all going to run away from this automation then? Or is this going to be a vacationing spot? What, the entire U.S. is just going to be a vacation? Or, you know, if we're going to developing countries to help them out?
Would people, yeah, would people move overseas and put their skills to use where in countries that can't afford AI or that advanced robotics and automation, right?
By the looks of it, we can't even afford it now, you know, with our struggling GDP.
Okay, well, yeah, of course.
We're going to need some time to rebound before we can even start developing all that. You know, there's time. There's time. So enjoy your lives now. Enjoy them
We
now.
Might be in the last generation that lives before robotics completely take
before
us.
Before a Brave New World.
Literally, dude. Like a combination of 1984 and Brave New World.
Great books from high school. Great books.
My favorite. Yeah, my favorite books from high school. Yeah. Glad you brought them up. It is a puzzling quandary that we're faced with. What do we do in a post-human society?
Yeah, that's a great question. We should pose a question for the endings of our you know, podcasts.
No, we shouldn't.
For our listeners to you know, think about.
Yeah. What would you do if you didn't have to work?
What would you do if you didn't have to work?
Read all the books you always wanted to, explore all the sites that you always wanted. Okay, if you didn't have to work and you were given a basic income, like a universal basic income.
Are you going
to,
you know, destroy your bucket list and get through everything, check?
Party away or...
Live and have all the experiences that you've been dreaming of without all the in-between, you know, waiting to travel, get a weekend off or get that PTO time from work or whatnot. Do you think you'll be satisfied with this type of lifestyle?
Would it liberate you or would it enslave you?
Oh, that's a question
I think personally,
for our audience.
I think personally I'd still like to work somewhere. I mean, this is probably not going to happen in our working years, like the next 40.
We can't tell, right? We really can't tell.
Dude, if you just look at the 20th century, man. In 1900, they were still walking around and on horse-drawn carriages, and by the end of the 20th century, we were flying. We had already flown to the moon, and we had bullet trains, man. So it's hard to say what 40 years will happen in 40 years. And the rate of growth for us is exponential. It's like it's so crazy. So
it really is.
In 40 years, you might have your own walking robotic assistant, your own, you know, nice Terminator walking around.
Again, if it's a capitalist society, you know, not everyone's going to have that.
What if they create a society that you don't need economic systems anymore? It is socialism, but where you don't need to work. You just are given a universal basic income and just spend the days however you want them.
But people still want those different things, you know? They want that expensive car or that luxury that someone else doesn't have, that custom built home, that custom motorcycle or whatnot. Or
so you would have to get rid of the human desire for more,
and that is still a question in itself.
Well, they successfully got rid of it in the Soviet Union. I mean, people didn't really fantasize about you know, amassing a larger fortune when everybody has the same thing. It's like the Soviet Union, except without the oppression and without the work.
But being brought up into this society where you see things and you want more where you see things and you want more, you know, it drives you. Some people are passionate for more and for that growth or that financial freedom or whatnot.
So you have to create a generation of sloths who don't want to do it.
You know, I don't know. Pose a question for our listeners so we can end on a high note as well as have something for them to think about.
What would you do in a post-human society? If you were guaranteed a basic income and if you didn't have to work, what would you spend your days doing? If robots had taken over the workplace, which they likely will, in this century, definitely. Unless, God forbids, a war breaks out. And it's honestly, if a war breaks out, it's probably going to accelerate the rate of robotics. If World War II showed us anything, is that technological advance and speed up because
the Industrial Revolution, the second one.
Well, that wasn't because of a war.
No, I'm saying that could be what would happen after a war.
Yeah.
A new age of Industrial Revolution.
We don't even have to go back that far. Just look at what happened in World War II. I mean, mass manufacturing, like machinery, like computing machinery, all began because of World War II.
Exactly, yeah.
Medical breakthrough, like penicillin, that sort of stuff. All of these advancements all began, all emerged because of the Second World War. So if a war breaks out, if in this century, it's probably just going to accelerate all of these changes.
Cause there you go.
We're going to try to weaponize all of these technologies. Well, we're already doing that, all right?
Let's
be honest. And we're just going to weaponize them more. And then after we've weaponized them, just release them into the mainstream and just and let people use them, you know?
Yeah. But we digress.
The question, what would you do if you were guaranteed an income and you didn't have to work? And with that, we leave you, our faithful and loyal listeners.
At 8:47 p.m. PST on February 10th, 2021. Thank you all for listening.
All right.